And now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords. Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena. Happy Friday. Made it through another week.
We did. It was a particularly eventful 24 hours trying to keep up with, well, what's happening at Hive.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
A lot of gossip, a lot of rumors, and
yeah,
it's getting a bit intense in the K-pop entertainment world, isn't it?
Yeah, I forgot how it does get dirty at times, but especially things at the heat of things. We'll have to keep tabs on the facts because it does get really noisy, the entertainment section. We'll cover some of the details in our second hour this morning. All right, Adam, let's get started. That's not the only front to cover, like the state of our economy.
Yeah.
Are we doing better? Q1 GDP seems to suggest that. This is our first pick of the day.
Economy rebounds.
So Korea's economy has grown by 1.3% in the first quarter, recording the highest on-quarter increase in more than 2 years. Now, what's in the numbers? That's probably the big takeaways. Tell us the details.
Yeah, so for comparison, the previous year's economy saw growth rates of 0.3% in the first quarter. So already that's a significant increase in terms of on-quarter growth. Now, the growth of the first quarter of this year was primarily driven by an increase in exports and a surge in construction investment. Now, breaking down the growth by sector, construction investment jumped by 2.7%, fueled by building and civil engineering gains. Exports increased by 0.9%, driven by IT products. Private consumption grew 0.8%, with rises noted in goods such as apparel and services, including food and lodging. So it appears that slightly more people are spending a bit more than usual, but it's still, in terms of consumption anyway, not as high as many would hope. Still a bit subdued at the moment. However, investment in equipment fell by 0.8% due to a slump in transportation equipment, and imports also decreased by 0.7%. Now, the real domestic income, or GDI, increased by 2.5%, outpacing GDP growth thanks to better trade terms as export prices rose more than import prices. Despite this growth, there are concerns, however, about maintaining this momentum due to the weak performance in the last quarter of the previous year and recent geopolitical tensions as well. Now, looking ahead, the Bank of Korea is considering adjusting its growth forecast next month to reflect the strong first quarter results and the recent uncertainties in the global market. The presidential office noted that Korea is returning to positive signs of growth, where the economy is led by private spending rather than government financing. And it added that if domestic consumption expands, the country's economic growth will continue, potentially exceeding this year's forecast of 2.2%. Now, the finance ministry also said the Q1 growth is a textbook return to the growth path. But of course, the government would kind of tout any improvements in the economy, because they'll say it's they've done a better job of it. But of course, a lot of analysts and economic watchers are saying that they're kind of trying to taper expectations.
Right.
It could be a short-lived quarter rebound. We'll have to see what the second quarter says. We are still in the midst of high interest rates. Consumption did grow a little bit, as I mentioned, but still they're relatively low compared to previous years, far below the pre-pandemic levels anyway. The pandemic levels have certainly dented consumption, and it's kind of ongoing at the moment. So it's going to be a while until we do reach those pre-pandemic levels. But it seems to be an improvement nonetheless. So we could take some solace in that, but we'll have to see how short-lived or long-lived it is.
Wait and see. It's funny because we make many projections and the finance ministry seems pretty confident about these projections. And then the economists say, they start to have a tug of war, essentially saying why these numbers can be interpreted differently. But anyway, managing expectations is a good start anyway. The finance ministry seems confident that we'll surpass the targeted 2.2% this year. Let's move on to our second keyword of the day.
Defense trilateral talks.
So defense officials of South Korea, the U.S. and Japan have held their 14th defense trilateral talks, with, of course, North Korea issues at the top of the agenda. Do we know what they discussed?
Yeah, the Deputy Defence Ministers, Chotungne, Eli Ratner and Koji Kano, condemned North Korea's reported satellite launch and ballistic missiles tests and weapons transfers to Russia as well. They stressed that such actions were clear violations of multiple UN Security Council resolutions. They also pointed out North Korea's efforts to diversify its nuclear delivery systems and its numerous ballistic missile tests. The officials stressed that a seventh nuclear test by the regime would face a strong international response as well. It's been a bit quiet in terms of speculation of that seventh nuclear test, but it is something that the US and South Korea especially are kind of looking for signs for, so it's not completely out of the picture just yet. They urged Pyongyang also to cease all destabilizing activities immediately. The three, however, noted that the door to negotiations remains open, and they also expressed disappointment over the failure to extend the mandate of a UN panel of experts monitoring the implementation of sanctions against North Korea due to, of course, a veto by Russia. They agreed to intensify efforts to effectively enforce sanctions against North Korea. The officials reaffirmed that strengthening military cooperation between South Korea, the US, and Japan is crucial for peace and stability in the Indo-Pacific region, including the Korean Peninsula, of course. They also sent a message apparently intended for China as well. They emphasized the importance of the rule of law and expressed strong opposition to any unilateral attempts to change the status quo by force or coercion. They also stressed the importance of fully respecting freedom of navigation and overflight, subtly referring to China's actions in the South China Sea. Additionally, they emphasized the importance of maintaining peace and stability around the Taiwan Strait. The meeting also addressed Russia's invasion of Ukraine as well, condemning it as a major breach of territorial integrity and sovereignty principles. They reaffirmed their support for Ukraine against what they called unjust and illegal aggression. And the officials agreed to hold the 15th DTT later this year in South Korea.
All right, so trilateral efforts bolstered even further. Let's move on to our third keyword of the day.
Professors meeting.
So when it comes to medical reform, we're still at a stalemate in the midst of an ongoing healthcare crisis. Medical professors are planning to decide if they will take that one-day strike each week, where they will be entitled to a day off every week for the foreseeable future. So what's the latest?
Right. So a coalition of professors is set to hold their ninth online meeting today to discuss the so-called weekly strike proposal. Now, if approved, each hospital will set its own schedule for the strike day. This comes, of course, after professors who submitted letters of resignation last month left hospitals yesterday, kind of deepening concerns of the medical vacuum and crisis. The emergency committee at Ulsan Medical School announced they plan to begin weekly strikes from May 3rd. Seoul National University Medical Schools Committee has decided to halt all non-critical medical services for one day on the 30th, except for emergency and severe cases. As medical professors continue to push for resignations and strikes to pressure the government, a new so-called Presidential Committee for Medical Reform was launched yesterday as well. This committee is composed of 21 civilian members and 6 government officials from different ministries. However, important medical associations like the Korea Medical Association have opted out, leaving some positions unfilled. The government was well hoping that the KMA would be on board. The government has invited the non-participating medical associations to join the discussions soon, especially to discuss improvements in resident treatments. Yeah, you can see that the standoff continues. The medical professors as well, also, in their words anyway, getting sick and tired of filling in for the striking trainee doctors because the government doesn't seem to be making any concessions or making any leeway in terms of talks between the medical community. So, yes, the medical vacuum and healthcare crisis is prolonged, therefore.
All right, with that, we move on to the heart of the political arena. This is our fourth keyword of the day.
Agenda setting failed.
So a second working level meeting on setting the agenda for an upcoming meeting between President Yoon and the main opposition leader Lee Jae-myung has come to no conclusions. That's the working level talk, the second of its kind. Really to no avail. What's the latest?
Yeah, it's unfortunate in terms of the government and the presidential office trying to cooperates with the opposition party, especially after the ruling party's defeat at the general elections.
Even but seemingly just, make amends?
Yeah, seemingly.
to try to work together.
Try to. It's going to be a tough battle. It always has been ever since Yoon took office. The DP has been very opposing of its of the government.
Isn't that their job?
It is their job. I was saying it with a bit of a twist, but but more so than ever this time round is expected as well, because they've gotten more of a majority in Parliament. So they're certainly going to be doubling down on that. But yes, this meeting coming to no fruition, it's a bit of not really a surprise. It was expected, but unfortunate anyway for the government and the presidential office. Now, these talks were between the aides to Yoon and Lee. They failed to address crucial issues such as the timing of the meeting and the agenda to be discussed by their respective leaders. The approach appears to be the approach appears to differ between the two sides. The Democratic Party wants concrete agenda items to be discussed thoroughly, while the presidential office prefers an open discussion without predefined topics. Yoon's side said they proposed an open format meeting to be held soon as possible. They emphasized that a meeting between the president and Lee should freely address urgent public matters and other national issues. Lee's side said the presidential office did not give answers to the topics they proposed, hence why the meeting failed. So basically, they're blaming each other for why the meeting came to no conclusion. Mm-hmm. Now, while they did not specify the topics proposed by the DP, reports indicate that the opposition urged the president during their initial meeting to fulfill Lee's election promise of providing a 250,000 won subsidy for every Korean, accept a special counsel probe into the death of a Marine, and apologize for vetoing several bills endorsed by the DP. Now, Lee's side added public sentiment shown in the general elections tells Yoon to reform his way of handling state affairs. And the two sides are displaying, of course, stark differences in their preparations for the talks, casting a shadow over the likelihood of the meeting occurring within this week, especially. So we're already into Friday, so that's not a deal that's going to happen, or whether the talks will happen at all by the looks of it. So a lot of differences that you can see. So, yeah, I mean, Yoon did kind of send out that olive branch in a phone call to the opposition leader proposing this meeting, but by the looks of it, it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. But what will happen over the weekend? We'll wait and see. More on the weapons export deal with Poland we mentioned earlier this week. This is our final keyword of the day.
Chunmoo deal.
So Hanwha Aerospace has signed a 2.3 trillion won deal to supply 72 Chunmoo multiple launch rocket system to Poland. Tell us the details.
Right, so the contract signing ceremony was held at Hanwha Aerospace's production plant in Changwon. The firm's CEO emphasized the company's unwavering commitment to bolstering security in Poland and the broader region. He underscored Hanwha Aerospace's dedication to providing cutting-edge defense solutions irrespective of geopolitical shifts. The latest deal is a follow-up to the Polish government's plan to buy 290 units of MLRS. Warsaw bought 218 MLRS units in late 2022, along with K2 tanks, K9 self-propelled howitzers, and FA-50 light attack aircraft. That was Korea's largest ever arms sales abroad. Now, yesterday's contract is the first weapons sales deal signed with the new Polish government, which came into office in December 2023. It's basically buying the rest of that 290 MLRS that was signed before. But financial contracts involving state-run lenders in both countries still need to be signed by November in order to finalize the deal. So there are still some T's to cross and I's to dot before the deal happens, but it's a contract that's signed nonetheless.
Thank you very much, Adam, for a week's worth of coverage. Any plans for the weekend? Nope.
Not now. Not maybe. I'm more of a carpe diem type of person. You know, let things be as they
come. What come may.
Come what come may. That's the one. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Adam. Have a great, relaxing weekend. We'll see you next week.
You too. Have a great weekend. See you next week.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.